You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
Is feeling supersonic. Give me gin and tonic.
Hey! Hey, there it is. Welcome.
All right.
To the Around the NFL Podcast from London. I'm Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by the heroes. The old boss, Greg Rosenthal.
More of that, please. Thank you.
Throughout the show, sirs. And the quiet star, Mark Sessler.
Thank you. Oh, this is a night-long celebration of all things Mark Sessler.
I like that. Was like, what is it? What do football hooligans sound
that
like?
That sounded like that. Now had I know beautiful chant element to it.
Mark, happy birthday! You turned some age this week.
Some age.
This beautiful man.
I ignore the number, but I embrace it too.
Yes.
I'm with you.
Listen, it's so great to be here. This is our, as a group, fifth trip to London, and it is, I don't know, I feel like it gets a little bigger every year, and the vibe, I see you, Mr. Joe Namath jersey.
There's always one of them.
Yeah.
It's always one.
And Greg, we got 3 games, and we're going to be at Baltimore, Tennessee, and that's so exciting. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, we're back working with Sky. So if you're at the game, you know, just yell at us and make us seem like a big deal. It really bothered Maurice Jones-Drew a couple of years ago.
Killed him.
When we were brought up on the big screen and they introduced Maurice Jones-Drew, and it was polite applause. And then Dan and I come in here, and the place went crazy. So please hook us up. And I'm excited. If you're not going to the game, we'll be on Sky throughout the day.
I think his exact words were, "I won the rushing title."
And we appeared on Sky today, Dan and I, on Sky Sports News.
Yes, very official.
I don't know if you've listened to the show for a while. A couple of years ago, Dan and I had our first appearance on. That was more like Sky News. It was
pretty
hardcore news.
Stone faced, as I recall. Yes.
Little rough, and we got like 4 straight questions about Colin Kaepernick and our official stance on Colin Kaepernick. It was just like,
it's like, sir, do you stand with Colin Kaepernick? Or are you against him like the rest of the National Football League? You're like, hamana, hamana, hamana. Then we get back to where our staging area was.
Sure, of course.
We're like, where's Wes and Greg?
Yeah.
And there they are being interviewed by
Hannah Wilkes.
Great Hannah Wilkes.
Yeah.
And they're kicking back and relaxing, talking about fantasy football. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think Derrick Henry is a great value. And Mark and I looked like guys that came home from war and saw too much.
Right.
You're like,
they have like the beautiful British sun streaming in on them. And
right.
Dan and I are like sweating. Like we have got armpit stains. We're just a hot mess. So.
It still sticks with us. Congratulations, Greg, on
nice
everything
job, Greg.
Going your way.
Yeah. I mean, I was back with Hannah today on her huddle. I guess just the women like me.
Fair enough. Well, we've talked about it many times. Greg was quite the coxman throughout his high school years. And
post high school happened.
And listen, there are many, 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 many men here. For those that are struggling in the ways of the opposite sex or whatever, like, do you have any advice from your 1997 self?
Yeah, well, if you're short and scrawny, don't be aware of that. Just like believe you're bigger.
There's the lesson. Okay. Let's talk about Ravens Titans real quick, because anyway, who's going to the game on Sunday?
Holy shit. Shout out to the person who just yelled Delaware out. Appreciate you.
Where are the tapes? We want the tapes. You want to talk a little bit about this game?
I would. That's why we're here. I mean,
all right, get it going. What do you think?
I just like cannot believe so on NFL Plus, we broke down Ravens Steelers about 25 minutes, went through all the plays. And I mean, I grew up not enjoying either one of these teams for very obvious reasons, but I almost like it was the first time that Ravens fans, I kind of almost felt that for them a bit, because that game would sear your memory. It was just like you're expecting.
Oh, you loved it.
I kind of loved it. But then I'm loving it. Then the Steelers are winning. So it's like there's no win here. But I mean, you have to like dive into the archives to find a Ravens game littered with that many gaffes, errors, and like Lamar Jackson playing well, but his wide receivers just I don't know how many acid tabs were handed out to that group of players before the game.
Several.
But it's like they were in effect in the bloodstream. So
yeah, I am a Lamar believer, as you guys know. I'm part of the Lamar.
I would say you're the general of the Lamar me.
Very like Bonaparte here, little Napoleon complex. But I like to look at the positive of like there's wide open receivers for the Ravens now, and you're going up against a Titans team that's bad against the pass. Mike Vrabel like talks defense, but his defenses are pretty mediocre year after year. We got Odell Beckham, we got Rashad Bateman, who hasn't done anything. I feel like they are due, and it's a really strong defense. You would think, oh, the Titans are the team that's better at stopping the run. No, it's the Ravens. So I'm looking forward to this game. I'm wondering, like, are there a lot of Ravens and or Titans fans here? Okay.
Wait, where are the Ravens fans? Like, did you almost die on Sunday? That was one of the shittiest losses. And I'm a Jets fan. That was one of the worst losses I've ever seen, like, on a television. So, like, I think that's what's so interesting about this game, because they both kind of need it. So the Titans, they are 2-4?
2-3.
2-3. They don't want to go 2-4.
Six games. No.
Yeah, thank you.
That might have been a prophecy, yeah.
Math is an issue. 39. State mandated. Tough sitch. And while the Ravens will survive, win or lose on Sunday, it is, you know, coming off the type of loss it was, and again, the fact that you guys are alive, that's good stuff. Like, they kind of need it to just get their kind of swagger back a little bit. So it's two teams that really kind of need a W this weekend.
And the Titans just feel like this show that's peaked and has been on the air for a really long time. And you're like, like, oh, Frazier's still on.
Like, right. They're introducing the red-haired boy that's right. The orphan that showed up at the front step just for comedy
right,
sake.
Right, and I yeah. like them, but it's like, oh, Kevin Byard and Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry, all the guys that you used to love when they were the one seed, but there's just diminishing returns here. That said, I think before the season, I had them winning this division, which means they need to get some W's, and I'm caught in a major tough sitch.
I have to ask a couple of Ravens fans. I mean, it was even literally last week that I went, you know, out to an event with some people and met
What?
Well, hold on.
So, who talks like that?
I don't know. So
what is it?
Whatever.
What is it?
I went to an event with other humans.
I went to a. I literally went to a baseball game, a baseball playoff game, and it was with a hardcore Steelers fan who I like knows his football. And then, like the comment came up when we talked about the Ravens and the win over the Ravens, and right. it's a boon for a Steelers team that was lost at sea. And you know, oh well, we know that the Ravens were once the Cleveland Browns, and this was a person of a certain age that was alive when that happened. No knowledge that it was the Cleveland Browns. And this is what you've,
oof.
How many times you've been out with me when I've run into this type of Ravens fan. It's like, please know the history of where your team came from,
sure.
or I'm going to leave. I'm just going to walk
so
out.
So that guy's dead.
Right.
No. I just realized like, oh, that happened like 35,000 years ago and some people don't care.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the show long enough, you know there is a Dark Sessler. I mean,
well, with a C,
you get the sunny version, but sometimes there is like a point in the night where the roller coaster is going up, 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 and then it starts going down, and that's where Dark Sessler arrives.
That's after the show.
If you happen to be unlucky enough to reveal that you didn't know that the Ravens were once the Cleveland Browns,
yeah, you are in trouble.
You are in deep trouble.
I do think that's a great for like kind of counterculture programming, Sessler after dark for the sea. I would watch it.
It's better than a Frasier reboot, which is happening right now.
Yeah, we didn't need it. So. Nobody asked for it. And yet here it is. Greggy, as captain of the Lamar Army, do you think there's any way they lose this game, or where are you stand on this one?
I've thought a lot about this game, and I want to tell you a little story.
Uh-oh.
The Lamar Army has been around for years, and we've been waiting, and we've been looking, and we've been saying all we need is the right person to lead this. Like, let's quit it with a college running style, and then our guy, Captain Todd Monken, arrived.
What are we doing?
Pause for dramatic effect.
You're trying, Greg. I appreciate it.
I want to tell you another story.
Another epic.
Wait, that was the close of the first story?
There's two stories.
Okay.
They connect.
All right, take two. And action.
They connect.
Okay. All right, go.
Pausing, it helps the comedic effect. It's great.
Nailed it.
There was a government a few years back, and they didn't like the bigger group of countries that they were connected to. They wanted to escape that group. And
Greg.
In the years after that, times were tough. And there wasn't as many pounds, as they call it, instead of euros, hanging around. And then one Sunday, they went to Tottenham Stadium, the hot toddy. And all the little Sylvias and all the little Ollies looked up into the sky, and it was supposed to be a sunny day. But then the clouds started rolling in, and the rain decided to come, and it started raining all over Tottenham Hotspur Stadium because the Rainmaker gave all the money to the boys and girls to the Ravens money line.
And it's important, Mark, that we, again, have responsibility. The Rainmaker, last time he, you know, took out, you know, he did the forecast. He said the Patriots were going to take care of business.
Right.
And then little Susie, Bucktooth Susie, didn't get braces.
Nope.
And, you know, that house, they wanted to do the addition on the house, didn't get finished.
Nope.
There's children that are using outhouses. There's no more toilets. Like, what? At what point? What stops this man?
I don't know why you trust. If you have money of your own, I'm just looking at the fashion selection. The ensemble is questionable. Greg, you know, there's some accountability that is needed on your part here. I mean, there are people that no longer believe in the Easter Bunny because nothing shows up on Easter morning. There's no funds. Santa Claus is X'd out.
Shout out to Erica Tamposi, our great former producer, Ricky Hollywood. You know, she's a close frenemy of mine. And at a point where she really didn't like me, she chose this as the graphics for The Rainmaker. But to answer your question, Mark, I'd like to look back on the last 3 years of The Rainmaker and look at the consistent success and all the coins falling from the sky, that little Ollie. You just have to have faith in the system.
We don't have time to fact check it, so we always go down this alley with you.
We can't take your word for it anymore after what happened, Patriots. All right, shall we move on? Anything else, Mark?
I want to throw out one sandwich bet that I feel strong.
We'll do a sandwich.
It's a prop. We actually are going to maybe put this out as an actual podcast, so Yeah. It's a sandwich prop.
Sandwich prop.
We are not going to any of the casinos in the UK.
I will call it what I wish, but I would tell you, like, I know you're thinking, oh, like an animal's going to bite someone in the forehead. Like, I'm not going down that road with this one, okay?
All right, what do we got?
This is hardcore football. So back on September 26, 2021, all right, with the Detroit Lions as the opponent and the Baltimore Ravens facing them, someone that we love on this show achieved the longest field goal in NFL history, 66 yards, Justin Tucker. Okay, of course he did. That won't be the longest field goal come Sunday night. That will not. This is my sports lock of the week. So you just take it from there and you say, I will not even challenge you because I know it's going to happen.
One of my favorite things about Mark is that he loves to listen to AM radio in the United States, which is mostly programming to men over 73 years old.
All right.
And he loves to listen to the Sports Lock of the Week guys talking as you're coming into
work. Once in a while.
I love this. I mean, for it to happen outdoors here would be bold. I'm going to take you up on it just because I love sandwiches.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a take. It's supposed to get a little chilly this weekend.
It's inclement weather. That's what makes it all the more courageous.
I assume we're talking about Justin Tucker. He's the
I did not say it could be one of two kickers.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hit it. I said hit it, damn it.
Live from the Shaw Theater in London, England, it's time for everybody's favorite game show.
What's More Likely?
Yes. Give it up, by the way, to Eric, our producer. That was very good voiceover work. Give it up for Eric. He's done awesome work, bro. Roberts. And with the mangled thumb. You guys should see it.
And it was 30 minutes ago. We're not last minute doing these things at all.
All right, so what's more likely? Those that have listened to the show for many years know it is it's a war horse for us. Because it allows us to throw out two possibilities within the NFL universe.
We're the only show that has ever produced a segment like this.
Sell it, Sessler. I love it.
No. Although we have noticed certain segments on our show popping up on other programming. Edited out of the podcast we're releasing.
Yeah, this show, by the way, will be posted to the world, which we don't typically do. So even if it's not funny, the jokes or the comments, just give us a little pop. That's all we ask.
Also, we're incredibly insecure, and it makes us feel better.
That's right.
Temporarily, and you have to keep refilling over and over and over.
But then the hole remains, and it's a hole that cannot be filled. All right, so what's more likely? Greggy, why don't you get us going?
I want to fast forward a little bit. Let's go to the day after the wild card round has ended in 2024. It's a little bit in the future. At that point in time, Bill Belichick is still the coach of the New England Patriots.
Whoa. What does that mean? What are the sounds meaning? Ego!
Of course, I'd be the head coach.
See the game on Monday.
Or a team from the NFC South is still alive in the playoffs.
Very good. Oh, we can do better than that. We're going to be on the world. Let's go. That's good. All right. Bill still has a job where the Falcons get to the second round.
Any NFC South team is still alive in the divisional round playoffs. Correct.
Okay.
All right. I have some things to say about Belichick in a minute myself, but
I thought we went over this, no, so we didn't we cross paths.
We attempted to cross plan for about 12 minutes before the show, and I was shut down at that point, not listening. But I think an NFC South team winning a playoff game is not impossible. They're weird. They're kind of sexy. The Falcons can hurt you in a number of ways. They can hurt themselves.
Which team do you guys think would be the most likely NFC South?
Falcons.
That's curious. That's part of it.
I think the Saints probably.
No.
All right. Because their defense is very good. We've seen that. And I think that especially will continue to help them during this regular season where it's a pretty soft schedule for both all these teams. And then, you know, I like Derek Carr more than others. So, and I think with Alvin Kamara there, if they get Chris Olave more involved and Michael Thomas stays healthy, I think they're going to be the best team coming out of there. And then you get a home game. And then the Superdome, maybe you win one. But I think it's more likely that Belichick stays. I think that even it feels very, and that's why, you know, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, Flashpoint Focus is the most prescient of all programs on the podcast, in the podcast world, because we're ahead of the story always. It's obviously a big story that the Patriots are struggling the way they are, but I also think they are more likely, unless there's a real clash behind the scenes, which is possible, that they would go, let's say, 4-13, and then kick the quarterback out and let Bill start over with the quarterback. I just think, even though Kraft said it in the media before the season started, I think Kraft wants Bill to be on the sideline when he set Greg Shula's record. I think he wants to give him.
But
one
that
more
could take
chance.
3 years with the team they have right now.
Well, you never know, though. The NFL, the way teams can quickly rebuild. I just think it's. I don't think he's gone. I think he'll survive this year, but maybe
things
I'm in the minority.
Things can get so dark, though. It's like, I mean, what's happened over the last 2 weeks, like, has us talking about and on our Flashpoint Focus series, which, if you go look at The Athletic,
incredible.
Like, days later, there's like 8 features talking about what we talked about 4 days earlier. So just a little nod to us. But it could get so dark that maybe the whole relationship just crumbles. Although I just picked the NFC South team winning, so I'll just stop talking now.
I think it's the NFC South team, because you figure what that's like, not to be, you know, boring analytical Greg here, but what, are they got a 40% chance? They're going to have a home game in the playoffs no matter who they're playing. Maybe they're playing the Seahawks or something like that. They're slight underdogs. I see you, 12s.
We can't
and by the way,
all.
What is up with the UK Saints fans? There's weirdly a lot of UK Saints fans. There's actually a UK Saints podcast, which I'm just surprised there's enough people to score them. That's amazing. Like, congrats. Check it out.
I mean, are you the person that hosts the UK Saints podcast? Are you here? Are you? No, f*** that podcast. Plug in that shit. Get in the building, then we'll plug it. Come on, Greggy.
I actually, if I had to guess, I would go Falcons slightly over Saints and Bucks, although I feel like it's way closer to 1/3 chance for all three. I feel like the Falcons' upside is the highest, where they actually could be a really good team. But the Patriots, the setting you're showing out to me, if they go 5-12, he gone. Like, 4-13, he gone. Like, they said that going into this season, they've lost the last two games by 72-3. How much darker can it get? We've got 12 more weeks.
He's not every coach. Like, you're kind of using, like, this against what other coaches would get them fired. This guy, he's been to, like, 9 Super Bowls or whatever.
That's how I would feel, but I am not Robert.
All right, how about this?
And have a lot of ego and want to make the Hall of Fame and show who's in charge. I think he's gone.
If that's what it's about, that's gross.
I guess.
Giving them so much. How about this? Speaking of the Saints, former Saints head coach involved with this one. So here we go. The Miami Dolphins. Any Dolphins fans? You. The Miami Dolphins finish with the most yards in NFL history, or Sean Payton goes full Urban Meyer and doesn't see a second year in Denver. Whoa.
All right.
On the count of three. One, two, three.
Well, Dan, leading the league in yardage after 5 weeks, that was the goal of the whole thing.
I told Greg on the Monday show that I understand now there's a kinship. There's some type of invisible string that ties Greg to Mike McDaniel. And it, yeah. I think we should all listen very closely to Greg when he talks about McDaniel, because he understands McDaniel in a way none of us can.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
There you go.
I think it's Mike McDaniel and these Dolphins keeping it going. It's a little hard to imagine because the stats are so inflated early in the season. The weather gets bad. They'll have to go to Buffalo, yada, yada. But the other option includes Sean Payton, who pretty much has all of the national media like on his payroll, I consider. Like, no one plays like the
not
media
us, though.
Game.
Not us.
Like,
still, though?
No, maybe not him. He knows how to play the media game, and he gets the most favorable coverage possible. And weirdly, I've learned over the years that actually matters. He got this ownership group, even though he was the third pick for the job, which he doesn't like to bring up. They wanted D'Amico Ryans. They wanted Dan Quinn. He somehow got like the biggest contract in the entire NFL. That's a lot of guaranteed money. They don't want to look like dummies, so he's staying no matter what.
All right. Who's next?
I will go. So I do branch into something that you mentioned, but it's a little bit different.
Here comes the dog biting thing.
No. We're not doing that tonight.
What'd you say, a bite on the forehead? Was that what?
Yeah, well, anywhere would
tricky
be.
Tricky angle.
Like, forehead would be tough to, not a lot of fleshy skin there. All right, defying the laws of medical science, Aaron Rodgers fulfills his quest to return this season. He talked about it. Marching into Foxborough on January 7th, handing the ball off to Breece Hall 27 times and completing 15 of 17 passes with a 98-yard touchdown strike to Garrett Wilson in the final 15 seconds of regulation.
The other one.
Hold on. With a fiery middle finger aimed at the football gods, the Jets squeak in as the AFC's seventh playoff team and usher in the firing of Bill Belichick. All right. That'd be a rough end. Or...
You have me intrigued.
Right. Or the Jets pee their pants to a 6-win campaign. But hold on. The Patriots look like a team on a psilocybin mono diet, farting out 3 lonely victories. Belichick resigns before Kraft can dump him. Smart. Woody Johnson gets crazy and fires his entire coaching staff. And in comes Belichick, fueled by anger and hatred and revenge, to become the Jets head coach. With a Super Bowl-level defense and Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback come next September.
There is nothing. There is nothing and no one in the world that hates anything more than Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick hates the New York Jets.
I hear you up till now.
Now, there is something twisted and perverse about him going back to the Jets, where he was the DC years ago, and saving them, and almost in a way that's kind of burying the Jets by saying, like, the only way you were ever going to be saved is by me. Eat it. And maybe he resigns again immediately after and sticks it to us. But I just think that is an impossible scenario. If anything, and I think, listen, he doesn't like to admit to it, the birthday boy, but the scenario that really is saucy is Belichick getting fired by the Pats and going back to the Browns. And I know you think about it a lot.
Yeah, you know, the
Mark, if you need a couple of minutes,
I could take a few
yourself.
Minutes. Like I just like you, Greg. I read like all the Belichick, you know, biographies and all the publications about him. Wrote to him when I was young, so there's got that on my resume. But he only. Okay. All he talked about over and over was ownership is the most important thing. So Woody Johnson stands out as a bit eccentric. But the Haslams, I mean, they're lucky that they didn't, that they escaped like an FBI probe.
We'll
so
cut
I don't
this
know.
Too.
I'm just trying to tell you what we know.
I do got to hand it to you. That was an amazing What's More Likely. Just like yeah. sometimes you got to give it up. There's no joke to it. Yeah. I will answer that.
When you don't sleep for 22 hours straight, things start to...
Greatness erupts from you.
Yeah. I think I will go with the first option because I'm with Dan. And when Bill Belichick got the job, Woody Johnson was the Jets owner. And he infamously was quoted in one of those books saying, I'm not working for that guy.
Yeah, so that's
that kind of closes that down.
I also want to know what a monopsilocybin diet is.
Well, a mono diet.
We've got two pretty clear days here before Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you can. There's a lot of options. A mono diet is where you would, you know, some people, you know, we live in LA, you'd eat like maybe a type of fruit for like 10 days, right? But if it were psilocybin.
Then combine it with mind-altering drugs.
Yeah, or just that. Like you'd nice. Go other places.
All right, last one. And I literally can't answer that question. I just don't think there's any scenario where either happens under any world. So I can't.
What's more unlikely?
And if Belichick went back to the Jets, he would suck. It would be like a reverse Revis, where Revis had to come to the Patriots.
Yeah, probably. All right, the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers fans in the house?
Okay, we hear you.
They go 17-0 this year in the regular season. Or we get episode number 2 of our favorite podcast. Hit it.
What's up? It's Nate Burleson, and they gave your man my very own podcast. I'm calling it The Process with Nate Burleson. We're going to talk about greatness on this show.
You don't really have to answer that one, but okay.
I really want everyone, just thank you for laughing at that. For the rest of my life being here tonight, that's what I will remember. Thank you.
All right, hit it, Jason.
And now we take you inside the mind of Dan Campbell, an internal monologue.
Meat. Man, I tell you what, I just love ripping the flesh of an animal and gnawing on the bone like a lion. I'm built for this. Man, our defense is primed. The HGH I gave Jared Goff is working. Everything is perfect except we lost those NFL podcast bozos. All I wanted, all I ever wanted was to be the first team in history to be the team of ATL for 2 straight seasons. We're built for this. But they gave up on me. Hell, Mark was barely on board last year. Dan's so sad about the Jets, he can't even see what's right in front of him. Greg's cool. Maybe it's not too late. I'm just a man standing in front of a podcast asking it to love him. They can hear this, right?
Well done, sir. All right, it's time now. We talked about it. It is a important segment that we have, by we, I mean Mark and I, have cultivated, co-creators.
Yeah, I mean.
Executive producers.
I'm an associate producer. You guys said it last time.
What do we say? Assistant to the best boy?
It was best grip, I think it was. Or junior grip. He was junior
assistant
grip.
To the junior yeah. grip. Anyway, that's not important. What is important, it's time.
I literally came up with the guest that you guys have been bragging about seeing into the future.
Okay. See, you're never going to get promoted with that type of attitude.
That's not a good okay? culture. It's not a good company culture, Greg.
You know what, Sean McVay, with the culture fit? Like, we're starting to think, should we trade you for a 2029 seventh round pick? We don't want to. We think you have that. All right. Anyway, it is exactly what you know it is. Hit it.
Vanish point.
Yes, Flashpoint Focus, where we get ahead of a story and tell you what everyone will be talking about down the line. And yes, we had a Flashpoint Focus about the Patriots about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. And now every publication that covers pro football is all about the Patriots. Other examples include, Mark?
You know, we were at the Combine and we were just sort of talking about the concept of what, this is a while ago, what would happen to Baker Mayfield, who seems cemented as Cleveland's quarterback? Like, all right. You're cemented to him, but like about a...
Ma'am.
About a fortnight later.
Just that you're here and that you're a woman, you can scream out as much as you want.
Yeah, you want to come on the stage?
We had Baker Mayfield. I mean, we just, it's been such a successful
the Colts,
series.
We ran into that story. The Colts, I mean, it's
Dan, you and I created something very special.
You and I, we did. We did, Mark.
Yeah.
If you guys could give out awards, you would give them to yourselves for this segment.
Repeatedly.
All right. So here is what we're going to do.
Where is that Stitcher award, by the way?
I don't know. I'm still looking for it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of fast forward 2 months from tonight. So that would be December 12th, 2023. And we're going to look at this as a pre-production meeting. What will be around the NFL's next Flashpoint Focus? I'll get this one going. I have to admit, and Mark, you were
prescient on this yourself.
Sure. Yes.
Dallas Cowboys, that was a hideous egg laid in primetime against the Niners. And I understand that the Niners are a superpower right now, and they are not to be messed with. And you maybe shouldn't take too much out of a team going up to their house and getting stumped. However, I'll get to that. However, I look ahead, and what I think is going to happen 2 months from tonight, and this is pretty wild. On December 11th, which will be the day before, by my math, they will play the Philadelphia Eagles, who are another superpower. And I think they will lose that game. And I believe it will lead to a lot of hysteria. And I believe it will lead to a lot of hysteria because the Dallas Cowboys at that point, this one I'm not sure, they're either going to be 6-7 or 7-6. Either way, it's not going to be what people were expecting or what the
people meaning
was.
You.
Well, I mean, everybody, I thought. I feel like a lot of us thought they were going to be successful this regular season. And this is where it becomes a story. Because at that point, when people are kind of like, what's going on with Mike McCarthy, is he safe? Is Dak Prescott the long-term future at quarterback? Here's their schedule after we do our Flashpoint focus on the show. 12-17. Well, do you guys do 17-12? Oh, yeah. All right. 17-12. I need to get home at Buffalo. Christmas Eve, 24-12. At Miami, 31-12, New Year's Eve.
I mean, that just doesn't even sound like a date. That's ridiculous.
You know what? I wrote the wrong... Can someone look up on their phone who they're playing on Christmas Eve?
Jeez.
So I wrote down Denver here. They're not playing Denver. Detroit. They're playing Detroit.
Okay.
That is a murderer's row. And if they are in a bad position or a vulnerable position going into that stretch of games, and I think they will be, that's going to be a big story.
I agree, and it's going to be tough for Zaddy Nation.
Tough
because
one.
No one's going to be more in the crosshairs than your boy, who got rid of Kellen Moore, and maybe at that point is looking at a very productive Chargers offense. Everyone was excited all offseason that the whole point was like, Dak won't throw as many interceptions anymore, but all the rest of our offensive numbers are going to go through the floor and we're going to struggle. Like, that's not an exciting way to run offense. It reminds me a little bit of Aaron Rodgers in the Packers. I can see this happening and I can see it dominating our January.
Yeah, I mean, I've voiced my suspicions about the Cowboys for a while and about Mike McCarthy. I know he went away for a year. He had this like epiphany where he started watching offensive tape from teams other than his own team and realized like, whoa, there's other ways to attack defenses. So it's been a nice story. I think the story is going to get very ugly very soon. And what owner gums out publicly more than Jerry Jones say, of course I support my coach. Of course I support my quarterback. Well, it's like, we were saying it too much.
Here's the thing. I think it's going to be on two fronts. I think internally, there's going to be, externally as well, but internally a ton of heat on McCarthy, who's been there for a few years. Externally, and I'm talking about us, but we'll do it artfully, but everywhere else, all the dumb talking head shows will be going nuts about Dak. And you're going to be getting it on two different levels. And the people that are like, who's sick of the Cowboys being talked about all the time? Here's the other part. And I'm not hoping this happens, but yes, they will be, even if they are 6-7 or 7-6, they'll be the biggest story in the NFL if it gets to this point.
Right. I do not want this to happen. I want them to coast along at this like wild card level where they don't get as much attention. Because if you were there for the Quincy Carter years, they got that much attention then. It sounds horrible.
I mean, even to go lose a wild card game, I think your scenario of utter chaos unfolding is very possible.
But if McCarthy was on the ropes, and if the Patriots were struggling, now that is something I can absolutely see following in the path of his former.
Belichick
pitcher.
Doesn't like Bill Parcells much either. I know what you're saying, but would he want to follow his footsteps? Maybe. All right, Greggy, how about you? Flashpoint, focus, pitch it.
All right, fast forward.
This is a big chance for you, by the way.
Pretend, you know, it's December 12th. We're coming off Thursday night football. Pat Steelers. Al Michaels sounding visibly bored in the middle of the third quarter as Kenny Pickett and Mac Jones have combined for a 1.2 yards per attempt in a game that doesn't matter. Coming up next week, Chargers, Raiders. Aiden O'Connell's seventh start for a team heat-seeking the number one overall draft pick. We got a Rams-Saints game that I hope is good just because I'm taking my family there and it's around Christmas time. Then we cap it all off, final week of the season, with Jets-Browns. The Misery Bowl. At this point in the proceedings, they actually just pre-record Kirk Herbstreit's analysis of the program. It's also coming on the heels of a Chiefs 64-20 win in week 6. That was great. Remember that? More Steelers, a Panthers-Bears matchup, more Jets on Black Friday, making one of our most hallowed holidays. And, you know, a deal with the devil. We are going to be looking ahead, and the rest of the league is going to be talking about, do we even need a Thursday night football with this sort of slate?
Yeah, well, the NFL, we need our money, so we're going to, Thursday night football is not going away. But how annoyed will you guys be if Al Michaels falls asleep in the booth and it's like 9:30 p.m. his time and it's like 4:30 a.m. for you guys?
It's disrespectful.
That just feels like, come on, Al. It's like the least you could do.
All right, Greg, I appreciate the argument, the thrust of your argument. But you are the only person I've ever met that was openly, a couple of years ago, openly pitching and lobbying for football, primetime football, every night of the week. Okay.
Not a joke. That's not an exaggeration.
No, this was a pitch.
It was two games a night, but they weren't on at the same time for the entire season. And if you do the math, it actually works out. You can work the bye weeks. Now that I have kids, I'm less into that idea.
Yeah, I haven't heard it recently.
But
your kids were alive when you were floating this. Yeah.
I barely paid attention the first few years. This is one of those conversations. You know it's not going anywhere. The money is good. We're going to be doing a 7-minute TNF recap of Panthers-Bears after week 10, so we need to get our listens in.
Find me a bow and arrow.
It's more just a conversation of what can we do to solve it? Can we replace Al? Like, how can we help Thursday night football?
You know, I root for Al all the time. And they actually made a concerted effort to make the schedule better, but you don't know what it's going to be until the teams start playing. Mark, close it out.
I think by December 12th, that a team that already has been set on fire and not in a good way, the Carolina Panthers, I want to look back a couple months to...
Wait, there's a good way to be set on fire?
Well, I guess you could. It's a turn of phrase. Things could be positive. But I want to. I guess in this reality, it is December something. So I'm looking back to this past week where I thought some very compelling, strange comments came from Frank Reich in a press conference. Yes. Where you don't get a lot of this. The owner is the boss. You just say it's so wonderful to work for said owner, no matter what the relationship is. And David Tepper has his hands in the cookie jar apparently multiple times a week with, like, Greg was my boss and he was a really great boss. Like, but no matter what happened with Greg, we did not have, like, behind closed doors meetings that sort of, like, threw you into a psychological blender.
Well, I know you guys talk shit about me.
Well, no, and probably vice versa.
It was well earned.
It was. I mean, but look, we're here now. I mean, I don't think Frank Reich and David Tepper are going to be here now come the end of the season. This is maybe a bit of a hot take, and I don't think it's going to be. I had this weird feeling that it's not going to be David Tepper forcing Frank Reich out. David Tepper, by all accounts, picked the quarterback, the number one pick that's not working. The demeanor of Frank Reich in that press conference was a man with some weight on him. And I mean, Frank Reich's about as respected as it gets league-wide. And I think what he was trying to tell us between the lines was this is not a healthy situation. And if Frank Reich looks at his entire career, I'm not saying that he'll be fired. I really think that we're going to be flashpointing a couple days before Frank Reich walks away from the Carolina Panthers.
He could also simply say, I gone.
He would just say, I gone.
Very nice. All right, stay right there, working class.
And now we take you inside the mind of Taylor Swift, an internal monologue.
Newsflash. I don't waste my time worrying about what others think about me or anyone in my circle. I mean, it's absurd to me, people saying this thing with Travis is some sort of publicity stunt. Come on, guys. I'm Taylor Swift. Travis is everything a girl could ask for. And while we're at it, his brother Jason is the sweetest. Do you know what he did? He came over and chopped down that dead tree in the backyard unannounced. So cute. I like that Travis looks like a cop hanging out at the Blue Oyster Bar. I do. But I also keep thinking about Jason's big, super manly beard. I just want to grab it. Travis has abs, but there's something about Jason's cuddly round belly and wild, untamed eyebrows that make me feel this thing inside. I like Travis. I like him a lot. I did. I do. But I can't stop thinking about that big, cute bear of a brother. What's a girl to do?
Wow. That's tricky. That is tricky. You know what? I view that Kelce Brothers podcast as a threat and a competitor, so I am all for that tearing them asunder.
Never say that Mark Sessler doesn't have range. That was incredible.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I was Taylor Swift, but that's okay.
You pulled it off well, my friend. Right.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yep.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's move on here. Ba, 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 ba. All right, here we go. Mark, you are 50.
And in love with Jason Kelce.
And may I say, I've known this man for 12 years. He is looking sexy for 50.
Didn't have those little bracelets when you were 45, now did you?
All right, good.
All right, so I just want to say, we get into a little conversation here. I know turning 50, it's probably, in terms of mentally, there's a lot of things going on. And there's this idea that now that I'm 50, what do I have to offer anymore? Is it basically a wrap on me? And is it basically, I had my opportunity to make an imprint, and now it's just like counting down the days till it's all over. Don't look at it that way.
All right, thank you.
Because I was just
that would be crazy to look at it like that.
You're inside my head.
I was sitting on the plane, and I'm thinking, like, it doesn't have to be that way because it's all a matter of where your head's at. So I did some kind of brainstorming. Like, who are some people after their 50th birthday who had a meaningful contribution to society? Okay, so this is what I came up with. If you could, Jason. And this is important, so please, Mark.
Let me take a look.
Yeah. Number one, that's Winston Churchill. How do I get that one wrong?
Tough crowd.
I thought he helped, I don't know.
Made a difference.
Good. I thought that was an easy one. It's like I didn't put Margaret Thatcher or something. All right. Churchill, big job, clutch. Big spot, WW2.
Yeah.
Away we go.
There he is at 51 years old, looking great.
There he is, 51. All right, another
He's
one.
51.
Right? This one was easy for me. Hit it. Gene Shalit. Now, you guys don't know who Gene Shalit is. I know that you don't know who Gene Shalit is. He was an American movie critic 27 years ago. But I thought it would be funny for us on the stage. So just give us that.
I think he's 36 there, strangely enough.
This is just for Mark, but okay. It's worth it.
And here's another one.
That's the trajectory? That's a tripling.
Colonel Sanders. Tasty fried chicken from the head of KFC. And just to be totally honest, that was all I could come up with.
Hey, you tried. I mean, that's a hard exit left for me if that's what's coming up tomorrow. So
with that said, as a pivot point, first of all, never give up. Also, why don't we throw out some figures in the NFL that have aged like fine wine, like a Churchill, like a Shalit, like a Sanders,
yeah.
Mark?
We were cabbing around. I don't know what's going on with the cab drivers here, but we nearly killed four bikers on the way. But
that guy was legitimately psychotic.
I kind of appreciate him because he's I'm going to get you there on time. But there were multiple near deaths. But we were discussing this in the back of the cab. We're sitting facing each other. And I was it came right to my mind. I mean, I want to take a look at someone that I thought was one of the most uber nerds around. And, let's just say, This is Andy Dalton when it was a relatively high draft pick, made good money.
This
but
is early Dalton.
Yeah, he put, are you going to sink even a dime or a two pence into your looks here? And it's you just sort of a floating ginger. You don't have a lot of direction. The Bengals reflected that. But then suddenly he's I'm done with the old Bengals thing.
Yeah.
He's.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on here? It's like a Nordic warrior. I mean, he literally got, am I wrong here? About 512 times hotter.
We're very comfortable with our sexuality on this stage. But yes, he does look like someone that's coming over on a ship, and everybody get the f*** out because he's going to do some damage.
Right. When he was young, mostly known as the progenitor of the Dalton scale, of course, made by a great friend, Chris Wesseling, and he was the median of all quarterbacks Now he's on a team with the number one overall draft pick, and he's the best quarterback on the team by far. He was replaced by a guy making $35 million, and he's better than anyone on the Saints roster, too.
What, by the way, next time I see Will Gavin, I'm telling him to get this haircut. All right. How about you, Greggy?
Okay. I wanted to think about our trajectory because, unlike Dan, I do think you have a lot more years to give, a lot of seasons to go.
I didn't say Mark didn't.
Right.
I'm just saying that hours of research, and I came up with those
three. It was a barren landscape.
It was just kind of in the subtext. And you've often said to me, and I take this as a compliment, like, Greg, you're going to be doing this forever. You just football, whatever happens to this podcast or life, I'm just going to keep trying to get after it. But I think in your heart of hearts, you love football that much too. And I think someday we're going to be 84 years old, much like Bucks assistant coach Tom Moore.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we're still going to be going through the grind of the season.
This is such a Greg pull, by the way.
Peyton Manning. You know, the greatest statistical quarterback throughout his whole era, the one who everyone thought was Tom Brady his whole career until Tom Moore left him under this guy. Baker Mayfield now playing his best football under this guy, and he loves it, and he's still getting after it. His wife of 37 years says Tom is absolutely delivering. Tom Moore.
That's good. That's something to aspire to. Mine's complicated in the personally and psychologically. It is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll. Tell you a little story about Pete Carroll. Guys,
settle down.
All right, we heard you hit the bar pretty hard before. The showrunners here were saying, could you please do this again? They've never sold more before a show.
Beautiful hooligans. So we have Pete Carroll here, and many people don't know this because, first of all, it was a million years ago, and secondly, it was a blink and you missed it. But he started his head coach career after a successful run as the DC of the 49ers. The Jets hired him, and he was a rookie head coach in 1993, and things started very well. They didn't end so well. In fact, he was the head coach on the sideline when the fake spike occurred with Dan Marino in 1994. And that led to a 5-game losing streak. He got fired. But the point of the story is my mom, Debbie, she was all about Pete Carroll back in 1994. She thought he was the dreamiest man alive. And now every time he comes up on TV and my mom is in the area, she continues, Mark, to mention that Pete Carroll is a silver fox, and it's really tough for me because I struggle to.
Well, you have a dad, so yeah. That?
Like, how much does my mom think about Pete Carroll? Where does Keith land on this?
Yeah,
the whole thing, it makes me uncomfortable. But I have to give the man credit that the fact that he is the oldest coach in the NFL and still moves with grace and speed, and he chomps on that gum, which means his teeth are natural. Give it up for Pete Carroll.
Oh. A much better example than the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy. I mean, This is life energy. And he's bringing something to the table.
How old were you, Dan, when you realized your mom was a sexual being?
I think that was my awakening, and it was very difficult. Very difficult, Greggy. All right. With that, I'm going to go get a chair. Your moms are sexual beings, too. Deal with it.
And now we take you inside the mind of Brock Purdy, an internal monologue.
I am so sick and tired of people not giving me the damn respect that I deserve. I'm the little boy who has been given all these wonderful toys, and the whole world is patting me on the head while I play under the tree. Oh, thank you for the blessings, Father Christmas. Well, guess what? You're the little boy. I'm a man! Can't people see that I'm special? that I'm not a product of a system, that I am the system? Man, don't people even know what time it is? Does Brock need to go out there and tell the people what time it really is? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what f***ing time it is.
Two quick things. The one thing missing from these trips is Chris, and you guys have done been so important to us from the very beginning when we lost him, and even when he was sick, and helping us kind of process losing Wes and moving on as a show. And the reason we're still here and doing the show is in large part because of you guys. Thanks for hanging around.
Thank you.
And more importantly, give it up for Chris Wesson.
It's very cool. We'll play that for Keish. Like right before we came out, we were texting with Lakeisha, and she sent a message to me yesterday too, talking about London and just how that first trip here, he had already overcome cancer one time, and that trip and meeting literally some of the people in this audience and interacting at the stadium and doing our live show and listening to some of the music actually that you guys heard. It's the same playlist that we played out, made him realize in a way that he hadn't, I think in a profound way that actually we probably don't really understand because he had been through so much, how much he had accomplished in his life and what a special, like really cool thing it is that we had this and we had no idea that we could come across to London and have this sort of connection that was bigger than football. And for him, who was like, grew up just loving the game more than almost anything else, I think it was beyond words. So it meant a lot to him. And I love that about him. And coming here makes me think of him quite a bit.
And there was no greater person to go to, you know, a typical London pub with than Wes.
Absolutely.
Get a few beers in and you get a different Wes. So
he was built for this city. And we miss him. We miss him every day. And before we sign off for good, again, this guy... Well, for tonight, this guy, again, he celebrated a birthday, and it is a milestone birthday, and it's wonderful that you've been in our lives for so long and will continue to be in our lives, and it's a big one, Mark, so how about one more time, and let's bring out a little treat for our buddy. Let's sing it one more time on three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Sestog.
Mark. Happy birthday to you.
Wait.
You have to actually eat it, Mark. You
I
have
will
to
eat it in time. I'll carry it off with me. There's no utensil.
Thank you, everybody,
Thank
for coming
you.
Out.
Thank you.
Heed the call.
Thank you.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.